Welcome to Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
I'm Abby. I stubbed my toe once, and it was like having a heart transplant.
And welcome to the show. Jay is in Nashville working very, very hard right now on a business trip or whatever he's doing. So we brought you somebody even better and more knowledgeable and more amazing and awesome and wonderful. And that is...
This is Shandy. Shandy from the tribe, and I'm so excited to be here. So thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, we went to here. November sweeps a little bit early. But we're very
is
happy
that when
to
they
have
are the, they're November.
November and May.
November and May. Okay, yes. I can never remember.
So, welcome, Shandy. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm sad that I couldn't be on with Jay, but I'm happy to, I guess, be on an episode where he had to be away. And I'm really excited to meet Jack for the first time ever. So, it's nice to meet you. And I'm excited to talk about the episode with you guys.
Great episode, too.
Yes, yeah. It'll be a fun one to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so you can be on one with Jay now that you have access to watching it on the East Coast. We'll get you on.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
my
amazing.
My life has changed.
It was the first time that you tweeted East Coast time with all the cool kids.
Exactly. I felt like I was part of the group, part of the bigger Survivor tribe.
Did anybody on the West Coast get mad at you?
Nobody got mad at me, no, for spoiling, but there was a little bit of, hey, how are you tweeting this right now? So I have to thank Shut Up Tim for finding me the elusive East Coast feed link, which apparently wasn't that elusive after all, but very exciting, and so I'm glad that I could hop on with you guys before the West Coast has even seen the episode.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't even know what's going on yet.
Oh my God, yep. This episode might be out before it even starts to air on the West Coast. Does that blow your mind?
That completely blows my mind. It's
so
awesome.
Just like Back to the Future, soon everything will take place in the past.
Yes. Well,
was
how
that
perfect
today?
For today.
It was today.
It was today.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, and USA...
I wish someone would have tweeted it or put it on Facebook. I had no idea that happened today.
I thought it was awesome that USA Today recreated their cover.
That was pretty smart. Oh.
That was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Anyway.
So I guess I did see it. I'm sorry. I guess I was lying.
But did you write my name down twice?
No.
Then you're not dead to me yet.
Oh, my God. Jeez, I don't know if I could take it.
I know.
I might vote myself off just to get away from her.
That Tasha was strongly considering it.
Did Savage really say that that Barner's in a better place now?
Did he? I was taking notes so fast, I feel like I missed stuff. So I'm.
It's right at the beginning. And he said something, and I go, I didn't go back and rewatch. I said, did he just say he's in a better place now, or did they say the tribe's in a? I don't know if he said the tribe's in a. They were talking about Barner, and I swear he said
he didn't come back.
Very true. He did not come back. He is probably eating cheeseburgers right now, which I guess is how you know you're off of the show. But yikes. And maybe he's getting some medical attention for that foot. I mean, I guess that's better.
I guess so.
Pretty bad foot injury there.
Didn't he say in a couple in some exit interviews that it took him several months, like he just got off a cane or whatever?
Said he lost
his toenail. Like
that. Oh, that's right. He did.
Yes.
He had a lot to say in his exit interview.
Oh my God, I read like three or four of them and listened to a couple of them.
Anybody listening, this what we're saying is fact. He did actually say this.
Yes, he did say this. Also, just remember when you're referencing that girl, that this is Colleen talking and the other one is Shandy.
Oh yeah, Marlo, then I get confused.
Marlo Thomas is not on this show.
but that's...
She's welcome to come on if she wants.
Yes, absolutely. I also got the feeling from Barner's exit interviews that he really likes Tasha a lot.
Yes, yes, it's no question. He's a big fan of her. She's getting a nice. I keep and now I'm watching it. I go, I don't see her doing anything nasty. But I guess
I think she's playing an excellent game, and I think that she's doing a good job of really. I mean, like she said, fighting back, you know, from bottom to top here. And I'm sure there's a joke in there, but
there's going to be plenty of jokes in this episode.
Yes. But no, I think she's doing it beautifully, and I think that she has, you know, a great personality to go with it. So, you know, that always helps. And I know that I got the chance to interview her for the Second Chance.
Oh, that's right. I was on voting. That with you.
Yes. And do you remember how lovely she was?
She was lovely. I really like Tasha.
So she seems like the kind of person that when you meet her, you kind of want to be friends with her. So it doesn't surprise me that Varner's speaking highly of her. She's doing a great job, too.
Yes.
It just came out of left field because I was trying to remember the first time she was on. I don't remember her being nasty in the first one either.
No, she and Cass just had issues, but Cass had issues with everybody. Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, and I mean, she said at the beginning of this season that she was a little bit too nice in her first season, and even her church friends were telling her that she needed to be a little bit more cutthroat. So I think that she's been able to be very strategic in this game, but still, you know, keep up good relationships with people.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm happy with her. That's all that matters.
But we'll talk about each person after the recap. Why don't we do that? That actually, I think, will be pretty awesome.
Okay.
Anybody that we don't touch on. So getting to Snake in the Grass, we start off with Angkor. Wu was happy to have a second chance in the game. I guess somebody was feeding him Spencer's lines. and he mentions that if we don't get our act together soon, then all four of us can be gone. Meanwhile, Abby pats herself on the back, but Wu is dead to her if he writes her name down again. Tasha and Savage bond. Apparently, Tasha is just like Savage's little sister. And Tasha reiterates how she's playing the game with the card she's dealt with, and she's going to keep playing it until her situation changes.
Good strategy.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, kind of goes with what we were just saying about Tasha. What do we think about the Tasha Savage bond? It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
It was an awkward hug, though.
He had awkward his arm side hug.
Like, he just had his arm sticking out. He didn't really. It didn't look like a hug. It was kind of like this. I've got my arm on your shoulder type thing. They might. Yeah. They smell out there. They don't bathe, and so I guess I get it.
Well, that could be. Look, I don't want to make up something.
He did bring his suit for the occasion, so that was nice.
I don't want to make up something that somebody said in an exit interview, but I did hear that Tasha smelled. Allegedly.
Well, I think they've all said that they stink out there.
I think you have to stink. If you don't, if you go more than 2 days without showering, I think you're stinking.
But I wonder at this point, like, don't you stink so much that you can't really smell stink anymore?
I think so. It's kind of like when you walk into a house with, like, cat pee or too much perfume or something where that person doesn't notice it. But
Is that right. The same cat pee and too much perfume? Is that the same kind of smell?
I think so.
Kind of, yeah.
Wow, you put too much cat pee on you today.
Anyway, are Tasha and Savage, are they the new Denise and Malcolm? Are they going to the end? I don't know.
I'm just going to say no because I like Tasha, as we've already established. Savage, not so much.
Well, I think if Tasha's smart, she'll cut Savage at the beginning of the merge or midway through the merge, right? Like, use him until we get to that, like, final six?
Sure, yeah. And he's a good shield for now, so.
Absolutely.
It's smart on her part, for sure. It's more the emotional response. Yeah.
He's a threat in the challenges, so she needs to, you know.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to be targeting him, so she'll have to break off eventually.
Yeah, at some point. But it would be interesting to see them be the two amigos as it moves forward. I mean,
they're definitely in that interesting spot where they came into this tribe in a minority of just the two of them, and they've now come out very strongly on top. So, yes, there is that for sure.
And that kind of bookends what happens at the end of the episode, too.
Mm-hmm.
in a way. The two Bayon stay strong in one tribe, and then the four Bayon kind of, you know, don't stay as strong in the second tribe, where they should be the ones that are strong. But speaking of Bayon, Monica and Kimmy, they are the gatherers instead of the men. Monica is worried, very worried, that they are depleting the water of all the freaking clams.
And Kimmy wants to eat.
Monica gives that very telling confessional where she is not living day by day, but looking forward. She's looking towards the end of the game.
Well, meanwhile, it shouldn't wait too long.
Yeah. She should have had extra clam.
Spoiler alert.
She should have had another clam. That's all I've got to say.
Mm-hmm. What was she saying was she right though? Should they? You know, they see those tribes that eat all the rice, they eat all the food, and then they don't have any food, and they couldn't they just like? I don't know. Was Kimmy right or was Monica right?
I think that, you know, Monica might have had a point, and I don't, you know, that's a very good question, but I don't think she quite presented it the way that maybe it should have been said, since Kimmy, I mean, she had, like, well, Tasha eyes in the water towards her.
Well, Kimmy doesn't care. She just wants to eat, what she said. Right. I just want to eat. I'm hungry.
Right.
Well, and there's something to that. I mean, I think that you have to, like, you need to be thinking about eating on a daily basis so that you can stay strong for the challenges, knowing that whatever happens, eventually your tribe's going to be getting smaller and smaller anyway. So that's there true. Might be something to the just eat what you have, and maybe you'll win reward later. Maybe you'll, you know, get a merge feast. Maybe right. there'll be some more food coming later.
And I would, I agree.
And also, I don't really know how clams work. Like, are there, Shandy. Like, are they going to be finding more?
Shandy. I don't think that's true.
Well, the seafood. I don't know if it regenerates itself.
Okay. Look, Kimmy is really annoyed by Monica. She's wearing her patience thin. But she does say, if my biggest problem out here is Monica, then I'm doing okay. She's practicing self-control because she's older and wiser now. My favorite, and I really, 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 really wish that this had been the episode title, is Kimmy goes, no. No, Pumpkin. No. I wanted No Pumpkin No to be the episode title. It cracked me up. I know that's silly.
It was funny.
But that's a good point, though, you guys, about the food out there. I think that, you know, you eat to stay strong so you can win the challenges where you might get the more food. So that's a very good point.
I think I'd be more conservative. I would conserve the food.
Well, but you
I'd have the fear of running out because I see it's you've seen it happen.
Well, yeah, especially with the rice.
I don't eat rats. I don't like rats.
And yeah. Kimmy doesn't eat chicken, so she should. That's.
That's true.
Yes, there's that. Well, I mean, I think, though, sometimes when it runs out, it's also because, like, players dump it out. Or, you know, true. Like,
right.
So as long
fire.
As no one goes crazy out there, they should have some food. And if they're finding some in the ocean, I mean, I think it's okay. I think that Monica, I understand what she was saying about rationing it out, but... I mean, just like we saw, she's thinking about the end of the game. Well, sometimes you really should be thinking about tomorrow because you don't know if you're going to get to the end of the game.
Right. Did anybody else at that point go,
Yep.
Yeah, that set up a red flag.
Yeah.
There's definitely a red flag combined with them thinking, oh, we got a confessional from Monica last episode, kind of, you know, for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
So those two things combined. Yeah, definitely.
And yes. Once Monica made her point, she should have stopped.
Mm-hmm.
That she kept pushing and kept pushing. So
exactly, and that was the same as Spencer last week, where he kept pushing and pushing it.
Mm-hmm. You have to know when to stop. Okay, I'm not getting anywhere here. I got to stop.
You're
maybe
right.
I can come back out, take some clams, move them somewhere else, save them, and then we have some clams.
Anyway, moving on, we go to the reward challenge and. You know, Jeff announces that Varner is voted out. And did anybody catch that instead of having the shock, like, oh my God, Varner is gone from everybody else that was in his alliance on the other tribes? It was just Savage, like, pretty much having that, hell yeah, that was me kind of grin.
Yep. He did. He did have that look like, yeah, I did it.
Well, Savage, yeah. Weird for Savage to be full of himself.
Oh, that's what I was going to say before.
We needed Tasha to jump up and go, we have a rat. But that didn't happen.
Anyway, so during the reward challenge, it is the same reward challenge as the one from Blood versus Water, the first one. So it's a second chance for Sierra, and a second chance reference in this episode. So I'm sensing a pattern here. So they've got to roll through the barrels, and it's just crazy-like. And
I'm thinking Monica struggled because Jeff might have pointed it out.
Maybe. It was almost like Monica had that Cochran roll. Cochran is sucking in the challenge.
You're killing him, Monica. So, again, she's struggling.
Woo Monica and Wentworth, who gets called Wentworth without having to ask for it. They go down first. And I believe what he said to Monica was, once again, very slow for Bayon, like it's a Sunday picnic at church. What?
Yeah, it was a nice. He's mixing it up.
I have to say that my after our like masses at church, because I used to go to church every Sunday with my parents growing up, we didn't have Sunday picnics. We had like bagels and bakery treats and pastries and stuff. So, and it was in a gymnasium. It was nothing.
Wasn't it a Southern thing? Don't they go out for like...
Probably.
Yeah, I think it's a Southern thing.
I know they go out to all the restaurants I want to go out to during brunch time. Oh, I'm just kidding. The girl on this podcast makes fun of Sunday churchgoers in the South.
That girl? Without any facts.
I feel like that's okay.
Anyway, Keith and Woo are really great at balls.
Holler.
And then Shandy had a great quote on Twitter. Well, I guess Probst did, but everybody now working on the balls.
That was going to be my name, but I decided not.
That should have been great.
I turn to my wife. I go, did he just say that? And she goes, yep, he just said that. I go, I swear he does it on purpose.
It's not as good as Deets Big and Long, but... And do you guys see the GIF going around of Steven?
No.
Jack, I posted in the Facebook group. Did you see it?
I didn't see it, no.
On
our Survivor thread?
I did.
Okay, I'll go back and look at it.
Yeah, you should go back and look at it. It's quite fantastic. If you're on our Facebook group, jayandjack.com, facebook.com/group/jayandjackgroups, then you should check out the Survivor thread for last week. I posted a very fun GIF of Steven doing something unintentionally inappropriate. I will send it to you, Shandy.
Knocking down Excellent. The wrong
part. Well, hey, I'm actually part of the group now.
Oh, yay.
So I can go look it up myself.
You can look it up yourself. So Keith for the win for Takeo. And Wu gets second for Angkor. And hey, Bayon, they got nothing for you.
Nothing for you.
Yeah, I loved this, how Wu actually said, second for us is like first. I was like, yes, Wu.
They got first place in the reward challenge last week.
No, but I was just, yeah, they did get first remember. Place. Now, I mean, he's okay with second. Obviously, we saw with Tony. So,
that's very true. He lives by that first is the worst, second is the best theory.
Right, exactly.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't think there was anything particularly fabulous about the challenge that was anything other than the great Probst quotes.
Well, Jeremy struggled with it. Spencer was like itching to get him out of there, But
yeah, so there is a theory going around that Jeremy is intentionally blowing his part of reward challenges so that his team won't see him, and when they get to the merge, nobody will see him as a big physical threat. What do you guys think about that?
I like that.
People have done that before. You just look at him. He looks physical. I mean, why would you blow reward challenges?
I mean, no, but I agree. But it's like, because the problem is, like, the man is ripped. So yeah. There's
damn abs, man.
Right. There's going to be a perception that he is, you know, super strong and good in challenges no matter what. So what can he do? I mean... Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but if he does intentionally blow some of these things, then at least come, you know, post-merge, he can say to people, look, like, remember that challenge and that challenge and that challenge? I tried my best and I, you know, didn't do well. So right. It's at least giving him some evidence, you know, fabricated evidence to point back to, because what else can he do since he is so physically just, you know, buff and like he looks the part.
And don't, I just want to point out, don't forget, you've got a lot of game bots now in that are back, that people like Steven and Spencer who might, the savages and the deetses, you know, might say, well, you know, look at somebody like Jeremy. He's smart and he's ripped. But then you've got the people like Steven and Spencer who might sit there and go, yeah, but, you know, he kind of lost those challenges for us. So I don't know how ripped he might be ripped, but he's not producing results.
Mm-hmm. Well, my theory is that you have to keep your tribe happy, though, until you it's an individual game. So I always said during an individual game, you should lose the reward challenge. You never should, because you don't have to pick somebody, but you try, obviously you try to win the immunity, but you lose the reward challenge, especially if you're a strong player. Because right. You don't want to keep going on the rewards and you have to pick somebody. You always pick the wrong person and the other people talk about you behind your back and you end up losing that way. But I think now, if he's doing it, I think it's stupid. Because if he keeps losing, okay, we start losing people. Well, Jeremy sucks in the challenges. And he's likable. Well, let's get rid of him.
No, I definitely see what you're saying. And I think it's a fine line. And I think you have to be careful. Maybe it's a little bit risky what he's doing. But at the end of the day, I guess, you know, he must feel strong enough in his alliance where if they were to lose and, it, you know, if they had to vote somebody out, that people aren't going to be thinking, well, Jeremy sucks at challenges, so let's get him out. They're going to be thinking Jeremy is part of our alliance, so let's keep him in. Yeah, and yes. Later on, you know, so but I agree that it's a fine line.
And
you don't want to be there at the end and going hashtag blindside.
Right. Also, though, it's worth noting. yes, it's worth noting that obviously this tribe is more about the alliance since Steven pretty much lost the immunity challenge for them, which we'll get to. And everybody was like, it's OK, pat on the back. We'll get them next time. Like nobody yeah. even thought that that was a big deal.
Right. But, you win some, you lose some. Kelly Wigglesworth.
I thought it was funny.
So did yeah. I. and so did he, because there was that shot of him laughing. But okay, so we'll move on from the reward challenge, since I don't think other than everybody now working on balls is notable. So we're at Takeo, and winning is pretty much awesome for them. They've got, you know, crowns, and Terry's happy, and Cass is smiling, and everybody is like, high five.
They got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they did. So it just continues to be like Survivor, you know, Excellence Resort sandals for them. I feel like it's like Takeo Beach is like Sandals Survivor. So Sierra, actually, of all people, is the one that brings up having a solid five. I think Terry is off swimming in the water. And then we hear a little bit from Joe, and he is worried that everybody is going to want him to vote him out right away once they get to the merge. And so he's kind of
do
what
I would, if I was them, I would do that.
Exactly. I mean, Stephen did say, Joe's the kind of person that you cut down when you get to the merge. So I don't know if that little confessional was kind of setting up that whole, Savage Joe Stephen showdown that's been somewhat foreshadowed since the Survivor MacGyver episode. But we do learn that Keith is really good at math. He, unlike, you know, Brad Culpepper.
I thought the same thing.
Keith says that two people ain't going to get you nowhere, but five is going to get you all the way to the end, or at least to the final five.
Right. I'm just happy someone picked me.
So it's always nice to see somebody that knows their math on this show. But I feel like Keith has a good shot from saying that. I feel like that's kind of like foreshadowing. I feel like this whole scene, and maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, was almost, because I know I'm talking way too much, and if Jay was here, he would give me like the bring it back down a notch motion.
But he's not, so do what you
but
want.
But he's not.
Exactly.
I feel like we got so much foreshadowing for the rest of the season from this mm-hmm. scene. Yes. I don't know. I think that Sierra being the one that's saying that, I don't think that it's going to end so well for her, but it might. I mean, she might get pretty close. But I totally, totally think that Joe's confessional and Keith's confessional kind of foreshadows what's going to happen with them. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that this is the first time we really saw a Final Five confessional, even just seen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but... So, somebody's saying, like, you have to get a strong five. This is the final five. They actually said that. So it could be a total red herring, or it could be exactly the final five. And I guess that's to be seen. All I know is I was paying attention to my girl, Kelly Wentworth, who is part of that final five. And I know, Colleen, that she's your winner pick here. Yes. On this podcast. So you had to have been feeling good. She's my winner pick as well. And yeah, I agree. It was like, well, Sierra was finally saying something, and she was saying something sensical, and she was saying something good. I like Sierra. I liked her chances going into this, but I don't think she's had really very much in these first couple of episodes. But you had Wentworth, who is in the mix. So I like it a lot. Maybe Sierra gets voted off before her, but I definitely could see this going to the end. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? Is it too early to say?
I couldn't tell you right now. So who's going to go? I mean, it's they're doing a pretty good job of mixing it up.
They really are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some years you got it figured out. Okay, they're going to go to the finals. That one's going to go to the finals because they're like a Philip Shepherd because he can't win. But right now, I couldn't tell you.
So, and I hate to do this, Shandy, because we're not on the tribe, but is the last time that there was just a straight-up pagonging where in the first episode or the very beginning we had somebody say, this is the final five, that it actually happened? Was it One World when we had that scene with Kim and the girls?
One World reference, awesome.
I know. That's my thing on the tribe is... For some reason, I bring everything back to One World, even though I've gone out of my way to see, you know, like half of the seasons at this point. I think I just do it unintentionally, but intentionally.
Well, there was a definite, I can't remember some of the pre-merch stuff perfectly, since there were some mix-ups here and there, but yeah, I mean, they had a pretty strong... pagonging on that season. So, I think of that season. I think of South Pacific also. And I think there'll be a lot more right. twists and turns in this season. I guess basically my point is, like, I don't know if somebody like Joe is getting to Final Five because, like you guys said, he's going to be such a target. There was, you know, there was that confessional from Steven that could definitely be foreshadowing. So maybe he goes kind of in the spot that he did in his last season. But I guess what I'm really hanging on to more than the final five is just Wentworth. Like, Wentworth is going to be there in the end.
I think she is. I think that she's going to final five. I absolutely do. Just from the whole vibe I got from this scene, I feel so. I've had this theory for a little while that I think that Steven is probably going to be the merge boot. And I think that because of that confessional where he talks about Joe. And they've set up this whole Savage Steven showdown in the editing. And I think that until Steven meets back up with Savage, I think he's safe. And my feeling is Steven is going to feel safe now in his little alliance with Jeremy that he's going to try to make a push to get Joe out at the merge. And Savage is going to say, oh, hell no, that's my boy. And I think it's going to come down between the two of them. And I think that Savage and the Joe side is going to prevail. And I think that that was just more foreshadowing of that tonight where Joe has this final five now and it's going to protect him at least a little bit further than last time. I can't see anybody in their right mind making him, you know, even get to past final six, but who knows?
Yeah, I wouldn't take a chance. If I'm in his group five alliance, I take him maybe as far as seven, depending on the numbers, and then I get him out as fast as I can because he could go on a run and win all the challenges.
Exactly.
And get me out. And if you go head-to-head with him, he's so likable. I mean, no one has a bad thing to say. We say this every week. Joe's like, you know, walks on water. And you couldn't beat him.
Well, okay, I have a question for you guys. What do you think, since I've seen all the secret scenes, so I've seen how much Cass and Joe, you know, Cass really loves Joe. What do you guys think that perhaps Cass ends up taking Joe out?
That would make sense.
Wouldn't that make perfect sense? That she's the one that, so Joe feels he's safe at the beginning of the merge. People from, you know, team Steven and Jeremy go out. So whoever's in that, I don't really know. I haven't, you know, thought this out totally all the way through. But Cass pulls her famous, you know, Chaos Cass move and decides it's time to get rid of Joe. Remember, like in Cagayan, when Tony cuts LJ and we're all like, what the what? LJ's gone? We totally thought that he was going to win. So right. I wonder if we're getting something like that with Joe's edit where he goes out, you know, third or fourth after the merge. And it's because of, you know, something like Cass where she just totally flips on her alliance and is like, well, I think I maybe have the numbers, but they're going to need me. So it's time for Joe to go. He's too perfect.
Yeah, that could definitely be. I mean, she's smart enough to know that you can't take Joe to the end.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a perfect theory because, again, you don't take Joe to the finals. Joe has to go. I would keep Dietz before I kept Joe.
True.
Yeah, man, that's a toss up too, though. Because I feel like Dietz has a little bit more reverence for the old school stuff.
I mean, I guess it depends on who gets in the jury. But
yeah,
Joe just has so much personality. He has that hair. I mean, it just there's, he has so much going on for him. And I just see if he got in the finals, I'm voting for him right now, and he's not even there yet.
See, that's the thing is they've set it up enough where Terry's got to work on his social game, but we haven't really seen so much of that since episode two. So I think I would take Terry over Joe to the end because everybody loves Joe.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like the new Rupert. He's America's survivor.
He's like the new Rupert, but.
Or whatever the phrase was.
But with the hair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Rupert has hair.
I mean,
with the body,
most people have hair.
Well, not everybody.
Oh, Shandy.
Not everybody has hair. The small majority of us don't have hair. It's okay. I used to have no type hair, but now it's gone.
You know, for a tribe that we only really had one scene with tonight, we sure got a lot of discussion out of them. Moving on very quickly to Bayon. So today, guys, Spencer was like so very hungry. So he and Jeremy took the boat out to fish.
Yeah, he caught a big one, didn't he? He was so excited.
It was so ridiculous. He basically wants to bond with Jeremy and become a force to be reckoned with later. So the two of them. So I think that Spencer wants Jeremy to be his JT. I mean, he the confessional was almost perfectly set up. That same scene where Steven and JT bond over the fishing or whatever it is. But this time it's Spencer and Jeremy, and Spencer's got that whole thing.
Very random. I like Jeremy's look when Spencer handed him the little minnow. He just like threw it into the boat. It's like, and Spencer, I'm so happy I've done it. I've provided for our tribe.
I'm growing, guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. He's growing into a big boy. this part actually made me kind of think that maybe it was Spencer's boot because this is kind of the sort of edit of like, oh, and you know, during my experience on Survivor, I grew as a person. I was able to go out fishing with the big boys and goodbye.
Yes,
but no,
he's not enjoying Survivor by proxy anymore. He's totally living the dream, guys. Which was also very reminiscent of like Cochrane's 2.0, wasn't it?
Yes, but I still think that Cochrane had just like so much more. I don't even know if swagger would be the right word, but. Just Cochran did it better.
He did. He was a he was a smarter player.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy, I'm not Jeremy. Spencer's too hyper. He's too. he's just too eager to please. Whereas Cochran just had that cool kind of. Hard to say Cochran was cool, but he just had that kind of. You know, no one was threatened by Cochran.
Right.
Especially in his second season, it was when it was too late. They went, "Oh my God, Cochran's going to win," but. Spencer, right. He's too talkative. He's too hyper. Maybe too young. I don't know.
Right. And I guess he's younger than Cochran. But I think, like you're saying, what was amazing with Cochran was that, despite all his shortcomings, he was the awkward guy and whatever. He was not good at certain things, but people wanted to be his friend. They
right.
wanted to be with Cochran. And with Spencer, like, we get that a little bit. Okay. Yeah. We get, you know, Jeremy bonding with him and whatnot, but we also have as many other confessionals of people saying that they don't really trust him, and you know they don't know about Spencer. So I think
they kind of insult him by saying he's too smart. If you can be too smart, but they always say he's just too smart.
Yeah.
I'd rather
right.
be
like
called too smart
too
than too dumb.
Yeah, I agree, but sorry. That's what they say about him. He's too smart.
I mean, almost as in, like, you can't trust him because he's always
right.
thinking about the game. He's playing too hard. Like, that kind of too smart, which isn't seen as a good thing. So,
right.
Yeah.
Whereas Cochran, of course, super, super smart, obviously was playing the game hard, but it wasn't really perceived the same.
Do you think that Cochran's, like, physical demeanor kind of helped him
mm-hmm.
be more, oh, yeah. a little
Absolutely.
More under the radar than Spencer, who...
They didn't think he was a... threat.
Right. Like, Spencer calls himself, like, an awkward, geeky kid, but if you look at him, like, his physique doesn't, like, Steven's physique screams awkward, geeky kid, but Spencer's doesn't.
And he's good, Spencer's good in the challenges.
Yeah.
Yes. I think, you know, I think Steven's actually a little bit ripped, no?
Yeah, he did, like, CrossFit.
Yeah. You saw those, like, scenes of him, like, shirtless. Steven's looking pretty good. But then, exactly, like, you
I
see
mean,
him
like,
in the
tall lankiness, which is kind of the same
yeah.
as Cochran.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, and you see him in the challenge, and it's not really happening for him. And you see him try to cut things, and that's not really happening either.
Keep the machete out of my hand.
Right.
But, yeah, that was a very – you're right. I totally thought, like, oh, my God, this scene means that Spencer is either going home tonight or he's going to go back home, like, go and win, because this was just so over the top, like, my growth scene.
I did yes. have a question. They got in the boat, and it was kind of awkward at first, and they paddled out, but they were only, like, 5 feet offshore. What did they need the boat for? I looked, I go, they're only like 5 feet offshore. Couldn't they just left the boat behind, grab some fish? I don't know.
You should totally tweet him and ask him.
Maybe it's deeper. Maybe there's a big, because sometimes, you know, you have like, there's storms and stuff that it, you know, you walk out in the, we've all done it. You walk out in the ocean, it drops.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was.
You got to dig deep.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we come to my probably second favorite quote of the episode over at the Angkor tribe, and it's from Wu. I guess all those random date nights at Chuck E. Cheese playing speedball paid off
for second.
Hey, which is like first for him.
Yeah, that's Wu.
That was amazing. That was Cliff, wasn't that?
It is. He's so sincere with his stuff. You can't dislike him. He's just, I think he's 100%, honest. There's no conniving with Wu.
I would love Absolutely. To have a beer with Wu and play like Sorry or Trouble or something.
Yeah.
Or Twister.
Yeah. Oh, that could be fun too. Question though, date nights at Chuck E. Cheese, like, isn't Chuck E. Cheese where you go when you're like 10?
Yes, that's what I thought. Am I wrong? Did he not say date nights?
I think he did, yeah.
Was it nights or late nights? I was typing really fast, like, to be honest.
Either way.
Either way, yeah. I'm having a late night at Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, remember, he didn't win. He came in second, so he didn't get the $1 million prize.
That's
so.
True. But
yeah. Either way, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and then we got another kind of smart-ish confessional from Wu. how he plans to use his mom as like a big inspiration moving forward in the game. So I guess she had a massive heart attack and needed a heart transplant within a few right. days for her life. And just after the transplant, that's when, is that what he said? After the transplant, yeah. he started on season 28?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then we had Wu crying, and I happen to think that he cries better than Spencer and Jeremy both cry. Mm-hmm. So Savage must be super jealous that...
Savage's like, I didn't think about that one.
Why didn't I tell that story? I should have added a heart transplant.
My wife needed a heart transplant. Think about that.
Hey guys, did you hear about this time that I dated a top South African model who needed a heart transplant?
But and she came back.
I gave her my heart.
She came back, yeah. I gave her my heart. I just want to clarify for anybody out there that we're not making up speculation. We're just making a joke right now.
We're going to joke, yes. So it's not fact.
And it's none at the expense of Wu's mom. It is at the expense of Savage.
Actually, I felt...
perfectly clear.
And it's not at the expense of Shireen. So calm down.
Of all the stories on there, I believe that one 100%.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's genuine.
Well, I mean, I don't think Wu could actually think of a lie.
No.
Exactly. Of course, it
didn't make Abby happy.
No, Abby was very annoyed by Wu because she had relatives die after similar issues. Is that what her thing was?
She had an aunt die.
Yes.
Something else die.
But she does want everyone to know that she had a tendon transplant on her knees. So, quote, she has a part of somebody else's body inside of her, too.
So that's the same.
Totally.
Okay, 100%. Guys, I'm going to say that again, and then I want a collective. That's what she said. Abby said she has a part of somebody else's body inside of her, too.
That's what she said.
I like when she went to Tasha, and Tasha's looking at her like, why are you telling me this? Why? What does it matter?
Oh, man. Tasha did her best to pretend that she was like, oh, yeah, that Wu.
You saw in her face right now that she was like, my God, I hope we lose because I need to get rid of her. Like, I just can't with all of my have that I have. I just can't.
She made a good point. She goes, because of her, I'm still in the game because I was able to get her on my side. But do I want to go in the merge with her?
Yes.
She's so unpredictable. You need the numbers, so you have to do what you have to do. But I would go crazy.
But hey, they might, you know, they have the numbers now, so maybe they don't need her. And I mean, like,
they don't. They can just keep Wu.
I get it that people sometimes tell stories for, like, I think Savage was trying to tell that story for sympathy.
Totally. Except, you know, he threw in, you know, hot model, Playboy.
She came back. But somebody like Wu, I mean, did Abby not see Wu's season? Like, this is, just like you guys are saying, this is not somebody who's going to purposefully use a story like that to try to... you know, to try to endear them to him. You know, this is not Johnny Fairplay here. No. He's genuine about his story, and it's not the same as having a tendon transplant. And it's not like, it's like, oh, well, I had somebody in my family, you know, who died after a heart attack also. Well, okay, probably a lot of people know people who have had heart attacks, but that doesn't mean you can't just, like, you know, sympathetically listen to Wu's story.
Right.
Well, he has put her name down twice. So.
So he's dead to her.
She's dead to me.
Yeah, which even that was funny. We talked about it briefly at the beginning of the episode, how she said that again. It's kind of like those parents who, like, don't follow through with what they say. Like, if you do that again, I'm going to ground you. If you do that again, you know, you're going to be punished. Like,
I'm counting to three.
Right.
I'm counting
exactly.
to four. Come on, just do it.
If he writes my name down, he's dead. If he writes my name down again, he's dead. Now we're up to three times.
She's still in the game. Stop complaining.
Well, here's the thing Who does she think that she's voting off next then?
Well, right, exactly. I mean, I think that's just it. Like, if Wu actually does write her name down again, I think
it's because everybody's writing your name down. Like,
no, she'll get up and get the torch and stab him. even if it's 3-1 for getting Woo off. I told you not to vote for me.
But it's just like, if he votes for me again, he's dead. Yeah. But if he votes for him, yes, if he votes for you again and nobody else votes for you again, then he is dead. Like, he's off. It doesn't matter. Like, I just, what? But Tasha says, and I do keep thinking, like, Tasha eyes every time she rolls her eyes at Abby. It takes work working with Abby, and she weighs, like, is it an emotional decision versus, like, her sanity? And I feel like she is at that point that Denise was at only about 30 days earlier.
Yeah.
It's got to be hard because when you're not, we've talked about before, you're not sleeping, you're not eating right, you're away from your family, you're out of your comfort zone, and you got someone like that 24/7. I don't know how it just would drive you crazy.
Yes.
Right.
And maybe it's just the editing, but everyone says the same thing, so it has to be true.
Yeah.
I think it's true, yes.
Don't make assumptions, Jack.
I don't know for fact.
Baseless speculations will get you 1 star.
I'm just going by what I'm seeing in the actual show.
Right.
I forgot to mention this in the very beginning, but when Tasha and Savage had their, like, brother and sister scene, Savage looked like such a dad in that scene, which I thought was so funny considering, like, the whole previous episode, he looked like such a hero, like an Adonis, like, oh my God, Savage. And then we come back and he's got his glasses and he looks like he's ready for bed.
He needed his pipe, did you say?
Yes. But anyway, moving on to the immunity challenge, which I really do think that Tasha was like, oh my God, let's just lose to get her out. I just really can't.
She could have shot the beanbag at her.
Whoops. Well, they needed Stephen to do it.
One more try and he might have.
He really might have. I feel bad because that totally would have been me. Anyway, so the immunity challenge is the same one as, I guess it was as in Worlds Apart, sorry. And I do remember that one being in Worlds Apart. And it's a second chance for Joe to rewrite history. So everybody, somebody said second chance, take a shot. Why was Jeremy sitting out of that?
Maybe that goes to the theory out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because I said the same. I go, why is Jeremy sitting?
I really think he's just because we had that confessional in the first episode. He's just so terrified of being seen as a physical threat.
But that makes no sense. But when you guys brought up that theory, maybe that's true. Mm-hmm. But it makes no sense to me.
Yeah,
right. Because he could have said, "Hey, you guys, like, look, I wasn't that great in the last challenge, in the reward challenge, so." You know, this is not my thing, so just sent me out. And maybe it is his thing, maybe it isn't. Although, I mean, think back to Jeremy's season. He wasn't necessarily that good at challenges, like legitimately. I mean, he beat his wife in the first challenge, but...
Whoa, you might want to rephrase that.
He defeated his wife.
Yes.
He defeated his wife. Against his wife.
Yeah.
He did feel bad about it. But I mean... in the rest of the challenges, I don't remember him being actually that stellar. Like, it's like he has like the physique, like we've said, but maybe he actually isn't super good. And so maybe he's just accentuating that here.
This challenge seemed like more of a strength challenge where you just had to pull the slingshot back. Mm-hmm. He has the strength to do that.
Yes.
It just seemed odd that he wasn't in that challenge.
And we know he's got good aim. Thank you for getting that.
I'm still like wheels are turning.
Val is pregnant.
Oh, hey. It's like he like extinguishes fires. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
Jack has bought guesses with me for a long time.
Yes, I got it.
And contrary to what people must think, is we don't sit around family dinners making inappropriate jokes like this. It's only when nobody's facing each other on a microphone,
exactly,
over Skype.
It's very PG when we're together.
It is. It's like whatever happens on Skype stays on Skype.
And on the internet.
Yes. Anyway, so we get some great quotes out of this challenge, starting with Jeff going savage just long. I feel like that's not the first time he's ever said that. Once you score, you got to switch out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, man, Survivor's getting kinky.
I know. It's like the Survivor train going on. I know. That was totally inappropriate. Man. I'm sorry.
I got that one too.
If we bothered to edit this, I would edit that out.
Let it go.
It's fine. I can see the reviews now.
House mom can only give one bad review. Am I right?
That's very true.
House mom or something, whatever it was.
I don't know.
I read all her reviews.
Yeah.
And because she has a lot of them.
Yes.
And in one, she said, I don't like to waste my time giving negative reviews or something, like giving negative feedback. I went, you have like 400 reviews on here, which is, I'm not criticizing anybody. It's okay. Now I'm going to get that guy.
Hey, look, as long as it's not that girl, I don't care.
I don't care.
Anyway.
I don't care.
Moving on. Actually, let me stop and go back. I'll take that out.
No.
Are you sure? Okay. I don't want Jay to get mad.
Oh, Jay won't even listen to it.
That's very true. He'll never know. Anyway. So after... you know, it's getting kind of intense, and Fishback decides to aim and miss.
He was way off.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't even close.
I didn't know that was part of the rules. If you hit somebody else's target, it counted.
I know, and then he scored, so he had to switch out.
The flag went out, and he goes, okay, I'm switching out. Hope it's a machete challenge next time, because I'm good at that.
I think he'd be sitting out. Sierra would from the other team be like, you know what? I'll go in for him.
Poor guy.
No. But Woo proves.
They laugh too much on this podcast.
They have fun.
Annoying.
I just, that was so funny because that's totally something I would do because I have such a terrible aim. And you could see like in his face that he was like, holy shit, what did I just do?
Well, you might want to edit that part out.
Okay. So Woo proves that he was worth his keep. He was Wooth his keep by launching the win.
Well, I was going to say on a serious note, I bet you they're glad they dropped Varner and kept Woo.
Yes, it was the first win for Anger.
He's good at the challenges, and he's loyal. So, overall, I know you guys like Varner, but...
I love Varner. I kind of missed Varner this episode. I feel like they kind of gave Kimmy the Varner...
He's in a better place.
Rest in Ponderosa, peace. Yeah, exactly. R.I.P., rest in Ponderosa.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. It's perfect.
Then we have the best line of the night, or one of the best lines of the night, which is Joe saying to Keith, hard, really hard. Harder, Keith. Way harder.
And Keith, I'm surprised. What? I can't hear you. What?
Well, somehow he managed to hear somebody telling him that it was hard, really hard.
It's receptive to that.
Yes.
Yeah. Keith fans everywhere. We're very excited.
Yes. Where did I hear? I think it was Cass's Twitter was like, after the last episode, she says something like how 50-something-year-old men were trained. Like, was it the tribe that said that? That read the tweet?
Cass tweeted, here's an experiment in whether or not 50-year-old men have evolved to not hear women or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing everyone.
I want to be like, yes, and 30-year-old men too.
it's in our blood.
Yes. Anyway, so you know, Keith really pulls hard to win for Takeo. And win second, so Bayon loses, and Monica thinks that there's nothing wrong with going to tribal council because it's only going to make them stronger, you guys.
What a dumb answer.
I know, and Spencer is worried that it's between him and Wigglesworth. So we had this back-to-back thing. Did anybody think, oh, Monica, sweetie, pumpkin, Monica pumpkin?
Well, I said it's too easy of a vote for Kelly.
Yes, and...
There has to be some kind of mix-up going on. And then when you had Kimmy go on, I said, oh, good. Because Kelly is my... Wigglesworth is my pick to go to the end.
Right.
To win it, so...
Me and me. Oh, yeah. Good. Christian Bale rent. That's my favorite. oh, good. Maybe I'll play it right here. Go. We go over to Bayon, and Stephen is really sorry, guys. And everybody, like, forgives him, which was great. Like, seriously, I feel like he got off really easy. Jeremy is trying to figure out if he trusts Spencer or Wigglesworth more, which right. is kind of interesting. Was that just a confessional for the sake of confessional or something? Because he went fishing with Spencer. I mean, he caught a little, like, you know, one-inch fish.
I think Spencer seems to be playing the game harder than Kelly.
Right.
Yeah.
From what we're seeing. I mean, he's, you know, he went on to get the water, but he didn't help get the water. He just went along he said, I'm interrupting conversations or something like that.
Right.
So Spencer is really playing the game hard. He's a smart kid. And if they saw him the first season, you know, he's got a great mind. He thinks, whereas Wigglesworth is just kind of, I'm here, I'm have my second chance. I'm having a good time.
Right, and then you have to think, like, who is that better for? Is that better for Spencer, where people might feel threatened by somebody that's playing like that? Or is that good for Wigglesworth, who could just be seen as, you know, an easy vote?
Well,
yeah, I think...
Go ahead.
I think that's maybe like why Jeremy was having a hard time, because like you guys were saying, Spencer's obviously playing harder. Jeremy knows Spencer's game. He saw his season. He's, you know, talked with Spencer outside of the game. So he kind of knows what kind of a person he is and that he is smart and playing hard. And he's been bonding with Spencer, but then it's like, how much can you actually trust him? The thing with Wigglesworth, yeah, she's kind of just like there for like, okay, you can have my vote, kind of is how it seems. You know, she'll stay strong with her tribe, but it doesn't seem like she's playing the game very hard, but right. almost to the other extreme where it's like, well, then it's like, okay, maybe whichever the way the wind blows, maybe Kelly goes that way. So can you really trust her? If she's not really talking game and she hasn't been with Jeremy for very long, like I could see how maybe he would have hesitation about that too. It's like two extremes, kind of.
Is that kind of the super passive-aggressive Sandra Light version of playing that Kelly's doing? I mean, we kind of saw at Tribal Council where she wasn't really making any kind of case for herself, in a way. Like, she was, but it wasn't, like,
well,
the
she
passionate...
Just said she said she's old school.
Right.
I work hard. I'm good in the challenges. I'm good loyal.
Point.
So she just said, and then Jeremy said, well, that's not really how it goes out here anymore. And he basically described Spencer, who's all over the place. And whereas Wigglesworth is just like, hey, I'm here. I'm strong. I'm competitive.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I guess that was a thought that was, you know,
but it could
better
be she could just
in
be
my
flying
head
under
than out loud.
Maybe she's just hoping she gets to the merge and she gets back with her, you know, her alliance. And then she's strong enough to go all the way. So
true.
Right. And I really think that, like, Sandra did a lot more to, you know, like, you know, everyone always talks about her strategy was anyone but me. And that's definitely true. But I think that she was sort of actively affecting the game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
Stirring up trouble and, you know, doing all these kinds of things. Whereas Wigglesworth really does seem to be like the quintessential old school player who's just kind of like, well, I work around camp. And it's like, well, that's great, but...
Nobody cares anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That only gets you so far.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I take back that. That was a thought that I started and I didn't fully, like, you know, flesh out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it does seem like Wigglesworth, like, doesn't have a clear like idea of, she's not playing really strategically, which again, like I do think Sandra did play strategically, but she's not, so she's not driving the game. No. But it's almost, it's like, she's like way in the back seat. Like she's like in like a minivan. She's like in the third row back, just kind of along.
She's on the back of the bus.
But her first time, the only one that really played it was Richard. Mm-hmm. The rest were just out there for fun, and you know, it wasn't towards the end where she realized she had a chance.
Listen, Dr. Sean had the alphabet strategy, okay?
That's true. That's true. That's a good strategy.
It really worked out for him, didn't it?
Yes. Maybe she's trying to fly under the radar. She did finish second. You know, one vote, Sue votes the other way, she wins. And maybe she's trying to fly under the radar. She's very strong. She's likable. So
I mean, but you need to put that likability to use and make some bonds with people and like get into an alliance. But I think that's been kind of the theme. Like, you know, even since like the pregame, the question has been, is Wigglesworth really playing the game? And I think that going into it, a lot of people said no, like she isn't. Then people thought, oh, maybe she was bluffing and she really is going to play the game hard. But I don't think we've seen any evidence of that.
Exactly. No. Which means if she is playing it, it's not being very effective enough for them to show us.
Uh-huh.
So, but
I think even Spencer said, did Kelly come and talk to you guys? And they said, no.
Yeah, she hasn't talked to anyone. Like, what is that? How can you're going to tribal council and you're in the minority on this new tribe and you don't talk to anyone? Like,
but it paid off, though.
She's lucky. It's not because of anything she did.
But maybe we didn't. Maybe we didn't see Kimmy talking to her and saying, "Monica's driving me crazy. She never shuts up." Maybe they didn't show us that because they wanted to have that shocking ending or something like that. I don't know. But you're right. We aren't seeing anything that she's doing other than catching the fish and the clams and the crabs and the
right.
Well, I didn't mean it that way, but you know what I mean. But
and she's I see what she did there. And she's obviously not in the know because at the end of the day, she votes for Spencer.
Right.
So
well, they were smart. They only the three people that voted for person gets voted out didn't tell anybody.
Right. And I wonder if Spencer was just told to split the vote or what? Yeah. Because if I was Spencer, I would be freaking scared that I did not vote with the majority. And that's like a clear message to him, right? If they didn't tell him that they were going to vote out Monica, that's a clear message like, hey, you can fish with us all you want, but at the end of the day, we're the ones making the decisions.
That's true. How was his look? Did he look shocked?
He did look shocked, I thought.
I remember like thinking he looked surprised, but I feel like I need to rewatch it. Again, just to kind of verify my initial reaction, I thought that he looked surprised too.
Yeah, I thought that he looked surprised, and from what I remember of Spencer, I don't think he's a very good actor. So, I mean, this I could
Cass,
be wrong here, 0% but
0% chance of winning the game.
I do really think that he was genuinely surprised, and like that was my question too. Like, why wouldn't they bring in Spencer for this? And a lot of people were saying, oh, well, because they don't want loose information and they didn't need him for this vote. And I agree with all that. But if you really want this person to be with you and to build some trust, then it would seem to me that even though you don't need his number for this vote, it would be beneficial down the road if you had brought him in. Because like you were saying, Colleen, this is a clear signal of like, hey, we didn't vote you out, so be happy about that. But clearly, you are very much on the outs.
Yes, and I think that goes to... So we have that whole sequence where Kimmy turns on Monica or whatever because, you know, Jeremy had asked, like, gun to your head, who do you want to say? You know, and to Jeremy, it's not a choice. And to Steven, too, like, okay, the most logical sense is to vote out the person that's not in our alliance.
Right.
And I do have to add that I really did sound like the way that Jeremy asked Steven, like, who do you think? It totally was like a Togan Jeans kind of callback in a way. But it was just very interesting that we have, you know, Kimmy who's... I think Kimmy is now from here on out. I think we're going to see her get like that Varner edit. Like I think Kimmy is going to be like the loose cannon. And I could be totally wrong, but it just kind of seems like she is.
Well, that's who she is.
Yeah. And I don't think that she's going to be able to hide it moving forward. What do you think, Shandy?
Yeah, I think there was a question about Kimmy going into this episode. Like, do people like Kimmy? Is she easy to live with? And I think that we kind of got our answer here. I think that she seemed really quiet before, maybe just because, I mean, we didn't see a lot from their tribe.
Right.
And yeah, I agree. She's, you know, she was the one that jumped on the Monica thing. And I think that she was basically maybe, I mean, like the thought process behind that was maybe correct. I don't know if she should have told people the way that she did, because it really made them uneasy too. And so, yeah, I think she could be the new loose cannon. I don't know. I mean, it seems like maybe she's going to be trying to play a strategic game, but we'll see how well that works out.
But she has said several times now that she just wants to get to the end. Like, mm-hmm. She doesn't say, like, Jeremy is very much like, I'm not going to be happy with second place. And, you know, uh-huh. Spencer really wants to win too. And Tasha, you know, really wants to win this time. And Steven, you know, really wants to and it hasn't been shown on confessionals, but in, like, interviews, you know, it haunts him that he didn't win. And he really wants to win this time. And you have somebody like Kimmy who's like, and Varner who... So we had Varner that just wanted to make it to the merge, and Joe who just wants to make it to the family visit, just the family yep. visit. And we've got, you know, Kimmy who just wants to make it to the end. So I don't know if she's so much playing strategically as she's playing more. It seems like what Tasha was saying in the beginning, you know, emotions versus like sanity. Like it seems like she's playing totally like emotionally.
Well, maybe next week she goes with Spencer and Kelly and votes off Jeremy.
Maybe. But Jeremy has an idol, so then it would be Steven.
But he wouldn't know.
That's right.
Nobody if knows. He's blindsided. Because maybe Spencer goes, maybe like you're saying, comes back and say, hey, I didn't know about this vote. And Kimmy goes, you know, maybe she goes to Spencer. I wanted to tell you. They didn't.
Right. That's a very good point.
Yeah, it's possible. But I think that when we saw that... that scene where she was talking to Jeremy, and was that Jeremy and Steven when
yeah.
she was telling them that
right.
Monica had this plan? It really seemed to me, at least, like she was all in with them. So I don't know if I could see her turning on Jeremy this soon, because it really seemed like she wanted to stay strong with the Alliance. And the only reason, even though she doesn't like Monica, really the only reason that she turned on her was not because she didn't like her, which, like, for me, that would be the emotional response. Like, we saw them not getting along. So if she turned on her because she didn't like her, okay, that's very emotional. But it seemed like she turned on Monica because Monica was against voting out, you know, Kelly Wigglesworth, because she wanted this alternate thing, which was the Girl Alliance, which is not what Kimmy had, you know, set up with these other people. So
right.
I think that maybe she just comes across as being an emotional player, but I thought that that was a very, like, strategic and, like, thought-out sort of reaction that maybe just because she gets worked up came across as kind of emotional.
Right. So just to play devil's advocate here, we had that scene in the beginning where Kimmy was obviously annoyed with Monica with the clam thing. How is that different than, you know, Abby calling the shots because she doesn't like this person, so it doesn't matter if it's strategic or not to keep them in. She doesn't like them, so they have to go.
Well, they needed they needed Abby for the numbers.
But they didn't need Abby for the numbers last week.
Right. I think last week they were trying to appease Abby to not get
They didn't trust Varner either.
Well, all right, fair point.
I mean, I think that Abby really is like, it's whoever's pissing her off is the one who's going to go. And, you know, that's with no sort of thought ahead to what's going to happen and how she's going to move around these chess pieces, if you will. Whereas with Kimmy, I feel like it was much more like, okay, this person has already shown that they're probably going to turn on our alliance. And so let's just take them out.
All right. Fair point.
I agree with that.
I agree with that, too. You convinced me. Good job, Shandy. That's why we have you on here.
There's a 5-star review. That girl convinced them.
That girl.
That girl. Girl, too.
Girl, too. But I do have to say, just, you know, getting into this tribal council, just a little tiny bit more. Right before we went to tribal, we had this very, very awesome confessional from Steven, which might have actually been the smartest thing said in the entire episode, where he worries, and I wonder if this is also kind of foreshadowing a little bit, he worries the message that it's going to send to the rest of the Bayon members, original Bayon members on the other two tribes, when they are, you know, Monica becomes the first person of new Bayon, or Bayon or old Bayon to be voted out of the game. And he's really terrified that when it comes to a swap, are people now going to think that the tribe lines don't matter anymore? The original tribes don't matter, because at this point, Bayon has been, you know, pretty much dominating in the votes.
Well, I think Kimmy said something smart though. She said something like, "Well, people don't know what's actually happening on the tribe now when they're not together. She could easily go up and say, yeah, she flipped." We had to blindside her.
But
I think he's over. I hear what he's saying, but I think he's overthinking the game right now.
What do you think, Shandy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Kimmy can definitely explain whether or not people believe her. You know, that's a whole other thing. Because just like you're saying, that they weren't there. So
if anybody can, Kimmy can.
Yeah. Right. So it's a good. It's something that you can easily explain, I think. And also, I mean, like, look at Angkor. We had, you know, the majority alliance over there did not stay together. So I think that it's almost just like kind of a theme of, and that's, you know, why they broke into three tribes in the first place. You had some clear majorities in the different tribes, and those majorities are not sticking, because once you break it up, it's going to become the dynamics just change. And so it's, you know, it's not, it's doing what it's designed to do, which is to try to avoid a Pagangi and make things more interesting. So it's an interesting fear that Steven has. Hopefully it doesn't, you know, hopefully it isn't like a bad foreshadowing for him. But I just think that at any sort of merge situation, or if they go back to two tribes at some point, that it, you know, we're going to see that things are very fluid between the original tribes, and they're not necessarily going to stick with the original tribes in either of the tribes.
Hopefully.
And how long were they together, too? They were only together, what, 6 days?
Yeah, it wasn't that long.
So it wasn't like they were for 12, 15 days, and all of a sudden they got split up. And so I think he's over. I mean, he could be right, but I think he's just
maybe
he's worrying about something that's not important.
Maybe he's just that terrified of Savage. Maybe he is. But he did say during tribal, so Kimmy said, I'm sorry, let's start. Jeff asked, what kind of signal are you sending to everybody else that's still left in the game? And Kimmy says, it sends a message, but nobody knows what goes on in camp. And Steven goes, well, strategy is based on emotion, and you have to build real bonds in order to build real alliances. So I guess it kind of shows where everybody is in a way. In that part of the game.
Yeah.
But so we get to the votes, and I think that Spencer super does Shireen like really proud here when he says, Kelly invented the phrase, I didn't come here to make friends, and yet you have more here on the other tribe than I do. So
I like his pointing the elbow backwards kind of point to the group.
yeah. Which, you know, everybody was probably totally watching and him and being like, what is he doing back there? Which that was speculation. I just wanted to point that out. I don't know that. It was half joke. How long has Spencer, who has loved this show since however long he's loved it, how long has he been totally waiting to make his own, like, rat snake Kelly Wigglesworth kind of monologue himself?
Forever.
It comes down to the votes, and it's 2 for Kelly, 1 for Spencer, and 3 for Monica. Hashtag blindside.
Oh, her luck was when she got that first vote. I said, "Wow, they're gonna do it," and she's looking at Kimmy, Steven, and Jeremy, and her look was classic. She had no idea.
Yeah. I really think that Jeremy and Steven weren't. Their looks, if you rewatch Tribal Council, their looks, I think that they were they were firm in their decision, but to me it did not look like they were super cool with making the decision, if that makes sense. I have to rewatch Tribal again, like I said, because we only watched it once and I was taking notes really fast, but it seemed like, you know, Kimmy was the only one that was like gung-ho, like, yeah, get her out. I want to eat all the clams that I can eat. hashtag clam eater. You're also welcome.
I mean, but wouldn't you expect them? Like, I guess on the one hand, it's going against the original alliance, but it's like as soon as you learn that somebody is thinking about voting you out,
yeah,
isn't it only natural to then want to get them out as soon as possible?
Yeah, and yeah. Kimmy did have a good point where she said, you know, if she wants to align, you know, with the girls, then what's to keep her from saying next time we have to vote Jeremy out or vote Steve out, which was also right. really weird to hear. I was like, who's Steve?
Yeah.
He's one of the clams. Yeah.
she exactly. It was very interesting also after Monica was voted out, and I did feel kind of bad for her. Because she was completely like, that was hashtag blindside more so than, you know, one that I think I've seen in a while that I can't think of off the top of my head now. But it would be cool if I could.
I thought they were just misleading us with the edit and stuff like that. I was shocked. I thought it was going to be Spencer.
That would have been like amazing. If it was Spencer, that would have been amazing because Spencer's dangerous. I don't know why they don't want to get him out.
Yeah,
they did, you know. And I think when it first came down to Kelly or Spencer, like, we haven't heard from Kelly in a week, so she obviously wasn't going anywhere. Spencer got a lot of confessionals this episode, and I felt like he had that whole, like, I grew, you know, just like we were saying, I grew into a bigger boy.
And I'm so a big boy now. I'm a real boy!
Right, exactly. So it could have been his time to go. But just again, based on the fact that we got a confessional from Monica last week out of kind of nowhere, you know, just after we hadn't heard from her for a while, then we got one from her this time. You know, we saw her sucking in the challenge, which kind of harkened back to that very first confessional she ever had, which was about how she felt like, you know, she didn't really contribute in the challenges. And she was worried about that.
Yeah.
And it was like kind of the payoff there of her not doing well in the challenge. And then, you know, as soon as she wanted to go against the original alliance, I was kind of like, oh, I kind of wished it would have been Spencer, but it was like, okay, Monica's out.
Maybe she should approach it with Kimmy saying we should get Spencer out. That way we still have a girls' majority.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just in case that Fishbeck and Jeremy go against this, maybe that would have been a better approach. Maybe Kimmy would have understood it better. Maybe said, okay, yeah. I mean, she goes, that Spencer's always playing the game. Kelly's not playing the game.
Yeah.
We don't lose much in the challenges. Kelly's good in the challenges. So
the only thing is, I feel like Kimmy was the wrong person to approach about that. Maybe Monica should have talked to Kelly and then had Kelly talk to Kimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might have helped. But then she would have, what if she would have said, yeah, I was talking to Monica.
True, but like, regardless, I mean, Kimmy wanted to kill Monica from the very start of the episode.
Right.
Well, right. Yeah. So if you're already having a hard time getting along with somebody, then maybe, I mean, and again, maybe it's Monica trying to make some sort of like rational, strategic move where she's not going to say, okay, I don't like Kimmy, so I'm going to get her out. She's saying, okay, we should do this alliance, and Kimmy happens to fall into that category, so we should keep her. But again, it just doesn't really make sense. It kind of goes back to that game bot kind of stuff that we had with Spencer, where you have to take into account that these are people and they have feelings, and there are certain ways to approach people and certain people that you maybe shouldn't pitch certain ideas to if you're not agreeing on clams.
Monica's best approach would have been flying under the radar.
Yes.
She's not great in the challenges. She should have not made any waves.
Right. And yeah, I mean, because you could make the case that if her all girls alliance would have worked, but it might not have, because if they had told the boys that they were voting however the boys wanted to vote, and the boys voted for Kelly. Oh, no, then it still would have been 3-3. But they could have easily brought Spencer over. I mean, Spencer is very obviously kind of in that, you know, who else am I going to work with kind of.
Right. He's struggling to get a foothold.
Right. And I feel like once, just like in Cagayan, once Spencer gets that foothold, he is dangerous.
He is.
So. Yeah.
The right move would have been to get rid of Spencer, I think. But that's just.
Definitely.
Right. And it was just like I said, it was very telling that Wigglesworth pats Spencer's arm. It was kind of like, we have an in now. We made it.
Yeah.
There's a crack.
Definitely.
So that kind of made me super nervous. And then as they're leaving Tribal Council, Jeff points out that if they have a question about if they're playing old school or new school, tonight's vote should put that to rest. So, eek.
I mean, Wigglesworth is still playing old school, but
she's about the only one. Her and Terry might be. Well, no, even Terry is kind of trying.
He's trying, definitely.
He's out there fishing by himself.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I thought it was a very interesting episode. If you thought that there wasn't a whole lot going on in this episode, I would hope that, you know, all of the fact that we managed to, you know, discuss 15 minutes, a 1 3-minute scene into KO should. I mean, that might be a record for the most amount of time we spent talking about that troop. That troop. Oh, my God. It's like it's brownies or something. That tribe. So there was just a lot. And it's amazing. I hope that the season lives up to the promise that we see right now. I hope that it doesn't become one alliance winning out and, you know, a whole group of people.
I don't think it's predictable. I don't think, like I said, I have no clue who's going to win.
I think that there are enough people on this season who are so just feel that pressure of having to make it as far as they can that I don't think that anybody can be bought by just one side, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's probably their last chance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They should have called it Survivor Last Chances.
Last Chance.
Yes.
So.
Well, and, you know, I think that production has done a good job with this whole start with two tribes, break it out into three tribes, and then we'll see what happens after that. But I think that that also really helps kind of break it up. So, like, we don't know. We've already seen original alliances break down. So, yeah, hopefully that gives a lot of hope that once we ever do get to emerge, that it won't just be a straight up beganging. I think there'll be a lot of twists and turns.
Part of me secretly.
Because you still have a lot of strategic players left.
Uh huh.
Yes.
Yes.
And you have a lot of physical players left. So mm-hmm. anything can happen.
Yes, and you also have Wu and Sierra. I'm sorry, Keith and Sierra.
Yes. But Keith is good at the challenges.
Look, he's good at pulling really hard.
Yeah, he is. Sierra's good at voting off her mom.
I think we could see some strategy from Sierra. I think it's a definite possibility.
I think Sierra's probably been trying to strategize. I think that she's been lost in like that Varner vortex.
Right.
Yes. Well, and being constantly safe and everything like that. But I think Sierra could be one who maybe also flames out, but kind of does it in a really big way.
I think that's going to be Cass. I think once Cass takes out Joe, because I'm totally convinced that that's happening now. again, this isn't speculation. This is truth said by me. I think that once that happens, she probably will flame out unless the other side needs her. But the person that I am most looking forward to now, and I mean, I'm looking forward to Steven like becoming a beautiful butterfly, even though the preview for next week really scares the crap out of me that I think that it might be his time to go and I might have to put points on him. But I am so looking forward to Chaos Cass breaking out of her cocoon and just flying free.
No more birthday gifts.
No more birthday gifts.
No more Miss Nice Cass.
Well, she didn't finish the book.
She's I'm like, I skipped nice. The last chapter. I'm like an SNL sketch. I don't know how to finish. Also, that's what she said. But I guess we have to tally the votes.
Yes, I can't remember who I voted for.
And Jay was very kind enough to leave this open for me, because remember last week when I was like, there's no way that we're going to remember to do this. So last week I voted for Monica. Holla. I got a point.
Woo-hoo.
You voted for Kimmy and Jay voted for Spencer. And actually it kind of seemed like all three of them had a chance. So I got the points. So what do you think about this upcoming week? And Shandy, you're going to vote in Jay's proxy.
Okay.
So there's a lot of pressure.
Okay.
Okay. Also, are we going to mention in the next on Survivor, it says there's a evacuation?
We can go spoiler, maybe.
Spoiler alert. The next week in Survivor says that there's an evacuation. Do we want to assume that they're still going to do a vote off?
I'm going to assume they do.
I am also, because it seems like that. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's blatantly telecast that it's in the middle of the night. So,
right. So I think they do it.
I would assume that there's also one too. And I have no idea. I swear to God on my life that I don't know if they do one or not.
Yeah, I think also, you know, starting up with 20 people, like, they need to get rid of some people now. So
they were like, that's why they did the challenge last week. They needed a medevac.
Well, I don't think they were rooting for a medevac, but it's like, I don't think that they're going to do that.
I know.
I don't think that those circumstances are going to just be then in place
right.
of a...
That was totally a joke, everybody.
Gotta be careful.
I am going to go. I'll go first. I think it's going to be Abby that gets voted out.
I like that.
Because, I mean, my God, the Abby show has to come to an end, right? At this point, I think that Abby is simultaneous. Like, Abby time is like simultaneous with like shit time. Like, she is just like a shit show, a walking one. So sorry about the language, but it's gotta be Abby, right? Like, we have to see the end of Abby soon, right?
I certainly hope so.
I'm done with it. I'm over it.
I said she goes to the finals.
No.
Oh no,
that means we get every single episode is an Abby drama freakout. No.
I bring her to the finals with me.
Oh man.
Unless Tasha cuts her at some point because she just can't deal.
And I really think that that could happen. I think that the people who have worked with her have seen that, like, okay, it's really, really tiring to work with Abby. And can you really do that for all of the days that are left in the game? And plus, you don't necessarily know what she's going to do. So I was ready for her to go this time, and her tribe amazingly won. So I'm with you, Colleen. I really think it's time for her to go, and I would really like for that to happen.
Okay, so Colleen and Jay both say Abby.
I'm stuck between Dietz and Spencer.
You think Takeo's really gonna lose?
I don't know. I don't know, but they almost
Go with Terry because I would like to get the points.
I hope I'm wrong, but I'm gonna go with Terry.
Okay, I would love to get those points because I can't see a scenario where that tribe loses anything.
Terry's actually older than me, so I don't want to see him go, but I hate to see him go, but I think he goes. Not in the Alliance of Six, the Five Alliance. So
That's true, but do you really think that they're going to lose?
Came close today.
Okay.
Steven could hit a target. They might have lost.
Yes, Steven hit a target.
Well, he did hit a target. He hit his own target.
I don't think... Oh, man. I just want to point out that I voted for Abby to be eliminated in episode 2 and 3. So I have put Abby's name down twice.
Uh-oh.
And this is the third time. So I think that I am dead to her.
I think I'm going to let her know on Twitter. I'm going to let her know on Twitter you did that.
Let her know that I'm dead. So anyway, anybody have any last thoughts about this season so far?
I'm enjoying it.
I think this is the longest episode that we have ever recorded in all 5 seasons of doing this.
This is like three episodes combined.
It really is.
I have Jay texting me. Are you ready to record yet? Almost.
Hey, you know something? Jay, I was waiting for Jay. I was waiting up for Jay to get to his hotel from the airport the other night, and he forgot to tell me, and I waited up until 1 a.m.
That doesn't sound like Jay.
And I was at one point, I was like, are you alive? Because I am so tired and I just want to go to bed. And he was like, oh, yeah, sorry, I'm here.
He didn't give the plane was delayed. I got caught in traffic.
No, he didn't even try. It was just like a blatant, like, sorry, I forgot to tell you that I was alive and safe at my hotel. So
Jay is the woo.
Oh, he's waffle. Woofle? Woofle. He's woofle. Woofle. Anyway, yes. If you want to hear part two of this, Shani and I will be on the tribe tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, but thanks for having me on.
No, thanks for being on.
Yeah, come back anytime.
Oh, it was great fun. I might have to take you up on that.
You were able to convince us. Change our minds. So that doesn't happen. Jade can't do that.
No. Awesome. No, but to be fair, Jade does a lot of like, hurry up, hurry up. We've been talking about this for 10 minutes. We've got to close the show out.
Stand target. Stand target.
I mean, let's be honest. Joe. That was totally Freudian. He's perfect. Jay totally never would have let me do my that's what she said joke for that long.
No, he would not.
He would have been like, all right, that was funny. Let's move on.
But before we go, I'd like to thank some of our Patreons.
Patrons.
I always say it wrong, don't I? It's Patreons.
It's Patrons.
Patrons. Patrons. Patrons.
Patrons.
The people that help support the show. We got three special ones. We got Eckhart Richter Gladfelter. I've changed his last name. I've adopted him because I'm sure I'm saying his last name wrong.
I'm so sorry, Eckhart.
So I can say my name correctly. So anyway, and we have Tack from Tokyo and Chris O'Brien. Woo! And if you'd like to join the Patreon family, go to Patreon/JayandJack.
Nope. Patreon.com/JayandJack.
I usually have Matt here to help me. Patreon.com/JayandJack. And you can help us out. There's all kinds of achievements there and goals we're setting and stuff like that. So thank you. That's all I got. Jay usually does this.
Yes. And so you guys are doing your secret patron cast, not secret. Your video one within the next week. Well, it was originally for October 29th, and then there was a conflict. So you and Jay are going to set a new date before the 31st, correct?
I believe so.
It might even be the 29th again. Hey, stay tuned. I will send out an email to everybody on Patreon about that. And then the listener's choice podcast, the audio one, that's for the $5 and above level. So the video one is $15 or above. The audio one should be recorded by next weekend as well. At least that's what Jay tells me. No, it's going to happen. And that will be out. We are going to send a secret feed to all of the patrons.
Secret feed.
Yes, Rob and I have created
that. For
the
Patreon. Patreon.
Yes, patrons.
Patrons. For those pee people.
Yeah. I will be notifying everybody of that shortly. Rob and I have created that, so that is good to go. And it feels like that October 1st launch was a year ago, and it was only 21 days ago, so I can't even imagine that.
It does seem a lot longer, but
it really does.
Also, we have to do our Firefly, our Serenity podcast.
Yes, so lots of podcasting for you guys. That. Coming up soon. And I guess that's that. So yeah. I feel weird saying hasta luego and goodbye, but I'll say it anyway.
Have to.
You can send us an email. Send it to jayandjacktv@gmail.com. I don't care what Jay says. I check the jayandjacktv@gmail.com one. It's on my phone, and I will get it. So send anything there.
It makes more sense because there's enough stuff going to the lost one.
There's so much spam going to the lost one, I can't even keep track of that one anymore. Or if you want to give us a call, you can call 385-209-0311.
Calling time.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever. Working on getting that back. The other one back. And if you want to hear Shandy, you can follow her on the Twitters or listen to The Tribe.
Yes.
All right.
You're on Facebook too, though, right?
I am on Facebook, yes. Yes.
All right.
And I'm in your group, so you can find me there as well, actually.
That's right. It's Shandy, S-H-A-N-D-Y. Yes.
That's right.
There's only one in the group. I add everybody. I know. So.
There you go.
Anyway, on that note,
I added somebody that was selling sunglasses the other day. I felt bad.
Oh, I add somebody that's selling sunglasses like all the time. Oops.
I'm usually pretty good at not doing that, and I go, they look legit. Yeah. Oh, they burn me.
Oh, you're so much better than I am. Good thing we have people in the group that tell us when.
Yeah,
they do. They're really good at that. So anyway, on that note, this has been like 3 times the length of a normal episode. So with that, I'll say hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.